We are faced with many questions throughout our lives. They can range from the mundane to the existential. Each day we must answer questions like, what will I have for breakfast? What clothes will I wear today? How will I spend my time? What will I prioritize? And over a lifetime, we face many important questions. With whom will I spend my life? What will be my vocation? Where will I live? Will I have children? If so, how will I raise them? How will I serve others with my time and energy? How will I spend my money? And many of us ponder existential questions as well. What is the meaning of life? Why am I here in this time and place? What is my purpose? Does my life really matter? Our lives are filled with questions. Some are mundane. Some are important. Some are existential. But arguably, for those who seek to follow Jesus, the most important question we will ever answer is found in our gospel text today. As today's scripture reading begins, Jesus and his disciples are traveling north from Galilee, and as they reach Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus and his disciples have been traveling throughout Galilee for some time now. Jesus has performed miracles. He has taught crowds. He has interpreted the Hebrew scriptures. He's healed the sick and cast out demons. He is known to the people all throughout this region. He's made a name for himself. And people have been making claims about him. And so Jesus asks his disciple, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples answer his question with several examples. "Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Who do people say that Jesus is? Today, there are not many throughout our world who have not heard of him. And so there are countless different understandings of who Jesus is. Some say he was a carpenter. Others say he was a teacher. Some say he was a prophet. Others say he was a myth, just a nice story that people tell. Some say he was a radical and a revolutionary. Others say he was a kind gentleman who loved children and taught of peace and harmony. Some see him as a tool used by the church to keep people in their place. Others see Jesus as one who provides liberation from oppression or freedom from sin and death. Some call Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. Others claim Jesus as the Savior of the world. Some call him friend or brother. Others call him king. Some know Jesus to offer a yoke that is well-fitting and light, while others find his ways difficult and challenging. After the disciples offer some examples of what people are saying, Jesus asks them, "But who do you say that I am?" All who seek to follow Jesus must answer this question for ourselves. Who do you say that Jesus is? How do you understand his role in your life and in the great story of history? No one can answer this question for you. No one can give you the answer. When Jesus asks this of his disciples, he has not and does not answer this question for them. They must come to know him for themselves. As Baptists, we believe that each and every one of us has the right and the responsibility to answer this question. We each come to know Jesus for ourselves, and we should decide for ourselves, without external coercion or pressure, what we believe about Jesus. We Baptists call this soul freedom. I often use this passage from Matthew's gospel when I'm meeting with baptismal candidates. I remind them of the importance of this question that Jesus asks his disciples. Who do you say that I am? And I invite those baptismal candidates to ponder their own understanding of who Jesus is to them. And I'm not looking for them to provide one perfect doctrinal answer, but instead to have engaged this question thoughtfully. For it's a question each and every follower of Jesus must consider. And in baptism, each one publicly proclaims their faith. I wonder what your answer is. How do you understand and experience Jesus? Does he accompany you like a brother? Is he Lord of your life? Do you chat like old friends? Does he encourage you to bold action as a radical? Do you believe he's a savior? Have you seen him transform the world? When Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter eagerly answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Today's story, as we've heard, takes place in the district of Caesarea Philippi. Noticed, Caesarea. This was the area near a temple dedicated to Rome and the Emperor Augustus. He was the first emperor of the Roman Empire, and he claimed for himself the title Divi Filius, Son of the Divine. So when Peter proclaims Jesus' identity, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Peter is making a bold political statement in the middle of an area which worships the Roman emperor as if he were a god. And I wonder if sometimes we forget just how fringe the Jesus movement was. In contrast to the might and power of the Roman Empire, Jesus and his disciples were barely noticed during their time. This claim that Jesus was the Son of the living God was potentially dangerous for Peter, especially given their location. If word got out that this group of fishermen and their rabbi were claiming divine authority, they could be in imminent danger. And indeed, we know the stories. The authorities of the time do take notice to these claims. It is this claim, it seems, about his identity, which puts Jesus on trial. The provocative nature of this claim in this location may be the reason Jesus instructs the disciples not to tell anyone. It was not yet time for his identity to be publicly revealed. Next week's gospel text explores further what Peter means by Messiah and how Peter's understanding of the Messiah differs from who Jesus understands himself to be. The Messiah, the Anointed One, was to be, in Peter's mind, a great warrior who would reclaim territory and power from the occupying Roman force. But that's not how this story unfolds. At the beginning of today's text, Jesus knows that this journey ahead of them is about to take a turn. They've been traveling around Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing. But as they come into this region, they have reached the northern edge of their journey. And in a very short time, they will turn south towards Jerusalem, towards betrayal and arrest, towards torture and crucifixion. Jesus might know that the journey is about to get tough, and that many of his disciples will abandon him, even Peter, the one whom Jesus praises for his testimony today. Even Peter will deny Jesus when that journey gets too tough. And we all must answer for ourselves. Who do you say Jesus is? And we will all fall short of our own bold proclamations. After Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The Greek word here for church, and throughout the rest of the New Testament, is ecclesia. Ecclesia, in its ancient Greek context, meant an assembly or a gathering of people. This was generally an assembly of people called together for public business. There was a political connotation to the word for the Greeks, just as there was a political connotation to that place in which Jesus makes this statement about rocks and building churches. Jesus's version of the Son of God comes in contrast to that of Emperor Augustus. And Jesus's ecclesia is also in contrast to the Greek ecclesia. The church which Jesus promises to build will be a gathering of people who believe in him as the Son of God. This assembly is one comprised of people who are committed to a different way of living. The church will become, in the early days, a community of people gathered because of their desire to build a different kind of world. In following the way of Jesus, they begin to build God's kingdom here on earth. Jesus promises to build his church on the solid foundation of a belief in him. And indeed, that is what the church has been when it is at its best. When we gather together as believers seeking to follow Jesus, we build the church. When we assemble as the church, we bring with us our own faith convictions. None of us believes exactly the same things or in the same ways as all the other gathered followers of Jesus. Each of us adds our own unique building blocks to this collective project. Each rock has its own hue, its own dimensions, but they fit together into a whole. Our beliefs about Jesus don't all have to be identical. Our understandings of who Jesus is and what stories about Jesus are most compelling differ for each one of us. We have our own individual experiences of Jesus. Yet when we come together, we make up the church, just as Jesus promised. This assembly is held together because Jesus is central to our faith, even when much of the details differ. Our belief in Jesus, his centrality, is the solid foundation upon which the church has been built. And so that day in Caesarea Philippi, when Peter first publicly proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the building blocks of the ecclesia, of the church, begin to be formed. And just as Jesus promised to build his church on the solid rock of our shared faith in him, Jesus also promised that the church built on that solid rock can and will prevail. In this moment, when Jesus promises to build up the church, Jesus also promises that the church will be able to withstand the greatest attempts at destruction. Siblings, this is our good news for today. Jesus has built the church upon the solid rock of faith, and no evil will be able to tear it down. In this era of Christian nationalism, of closing churches, of shrinking influence, remember this promise from Jesus. The ecclesia will prevail against all odds. The gathered followers of Jesus will be strong enough to withstand the powers of evil and death. As each new block gets added, with each new believer's unique perspective on who Jesus is, the church changes and grows. As each new believer claims their faith, the church grows stronger. And when we focus on Jesus, we build a church that is able to stand tall and strong. When we boldly and publicly proclaim our faith in Jesus, we live out our answer to that ultimate question. Who do you say that I am? Amen.